We were in a different church yesterday, and it was a nice church, but I kind of like here because we have a nice church as well, and plenty of comfort. Now, they remodeled their church in the 80s, maybe even the 90s. You know how I can tell? Because they have blue pews. Anybody that was redone in the 70s, burn orange. That was the you could have gone to five of our Pentecostal Church of God churches and you would have found burn orange. I think the first guy that did it was Brother Len Martin down in Visalia, and everybody thought, oh, that's the rage. So everybody copied that. And Brother Smith was in our church, and he had pastored Visalia. So he must have caught wind of what it was, and we have burn orange. But we're thankful for the house of God that we have to worship the Lord in. And I really want you to know you're free to worship. You're free to speak in tongues, free to minister to God. And let the Lord lead, because we need His touch. I want to speak this morning about the precious blood of Jesus. If you'll turn with me to the book of 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 through 21. Yesterday I used the first part of this chapter, verses 1 through 12, for the message in the service. And that message was about the inheritance that Christ purchased for us. How many knows that we have an inheritance? Scripture says we have an inheritance that fadeth not away. Now, when my dad passed away, my inheritance were expenses from his funeral service. So we had to contribute. And at one time, my dad had considerable money, but it took a lot of money. As all of the kids come along, they got different parts of that, right? So the inheritance was spent. But I'll tell you what, the Lord's got an inheritance for us that's not spent. You don't have to share. It's altogether yours. And guess what? It's eternal. And it's going to be glorious. It was hard to say goodbye to a 24-year-old young lady and just really starting off in life. Very, very difficult. But at the same time, she wasn't cheated by being in heaven. None of us are. That's glory, and that's a permanent place. You'll never have to move again. 1 Peter 1 and 13 through 21, therefore gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts. Peter was saying, don't go back to that paganism. Don't go back to that unbelieving state or that ungodliness. As in your ignorance, that's another way of putting it, your ignorance, when you didn't know and you ignored. Now, there's something to be said of contrasting ignorance, not knowing, to rebellion. Either way, you're lost, and the lost need to know Christ. So we don't want to go backwards, but we want to, as obedient children, not conforming yourselves to your former lusts, as in your ignorance, but as to He who called you is holy. God is holy. You also be holy in all of your conduct. This is not a choice. This is not an option. This is what we need to do, what we need to be. Because as it is written, be holy, for I am holy. And if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourself throughout the time of your stay here in fear. knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, like silver or gold. Now, isn't that amazing? We think of silver and gold. How many would like to have a little more silver and a little more gold? In heaven, the streets are gold. So one day you're going to walk on what upon this earth was so precious. I don't know what gold's costing right now per ounce, but it's a lot. And it's worth still something. Some things in this world is not worth anything. But gold and silver can be corrupted. Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct, received by the tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last days, last times for you, who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Let's pray. Lord, we're thankful for your word. I pray that your word already has resonated with our spirit, that we already feel, Lord Jesus, a touch and a leading by your word. Your word is eternal. Your word is absolute and is truth. And we honor that word today, and we honor you. Bring anointing to your word and help us, Lord, to speak only your truth and to bring encouragement and blessing to your people. We honor and give you glory. Amen. And the title of this message, The Precious Blood of Jesus. I started off with more than gold. I thought, nah, it's not good. And then I thought of more precious than gold. Nope, still not enough. Because what I want us to know today is that the blood of Christ is so precious. So precious. When I think a lot of times of that word precious, I think of little babies, because aren't they so precious and adorable and wonderful? Because they mean so much to us, we know that they need to be protected, and everybody just oohs and ahs over little babies. And I want you to understand that the value of the blood of Jesus Christ is beyond anything in this world. There was a song that Brother Watson used to sing, Love Grew Where the Blood fell. Love grew where the blood fell. This was a song we heard a long time ago, but it's a beautiful song. The blood of Jesus Christ is most precious upon this earth and in heaven. And we will never, ever, ever drop the theme of the old rugged cross and the blood of Christ from now throughout eternity. The blood. The blood. There are lots of songs about the blood. And we each have our favorite, no doubt. My favorite, I think, is the one that Andre Crouch wrote called The Blood. And I do have the words to that just to share this morning. I believe in songs. I think songs minister. Sometimes people can't remember the title of the sermon on Wednesday. But if we sang a particular song, you can remember that, for a couple of months to come. I'm for everything that keeps the love and the blood and the grace and the mercy of God flowing in our lives all the time. Because we're always to be on and ready for the Lord. We're always to be holy because He's holy. How in the world can I be holy? Because of the blood of Jesus Christ. because His precious blood purchased for me a holiness that I can't come up with on my own. And sanctification, which means being set apart from the world unto God, I can't come up with that on my own. A justification, and as some have said, just as if I had never sinned. Only the blood can wash away the stains, which are great. I had a good, beautiful white shirt on yesterday afternoon. I went all day nearly with that shirt and kept it real clean. Looking forward to wearing it today because I just like the texture and everything of it. And guess what? Stopped at Dairy Queen, got a sundae, and got a stain right here. If I'd have worn it today, you would have recognized, well, why did you wear a shirt with a chocolate stain on it? Sin creates a stain that cannot be taken away, washed away, without the shedding of blood and without the blood of Jesus Christ. I think today sometimes the world has thought of sin as not being that big a deal. It is a big deal. It separates us from God. And it is a big deal. God wanted us holy, and He provided the way for that to happen. And He's taken away all of our guilt, all of our shame, by the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ. We're not redeemed with something that was paid for. Years ago, I went to the Mint in San Francisco. How many has ever been to the Mint in San Francisco? We went in school. One thing I can tell you about that, at least back then, those elevators go at about 150 miles an hour. They zoom. I wasn't too crazy about elevators in the beginning, and that elevator, I'm even more so. But they had some gold, and we thought, oh man, look at America's rich. And they said, well, that gold belongs to the Philippines. They have it here for safety. And then they had a little card. And on that card, it had little tabs on it. And the guy said, each one of those tabs, I don't know, is worth, you know, thousands or hundreds of thousands of dollars. He said, it's like a bond, and it's very, very valuable. And then they had another section where they had taken in money that got too worn out, and they were punching holes in it. So, you know, that's amazing. But there's a lot of value there, but that value can fade away. Gold's price goes up and down, but the blood of Jesus Christ never loses its power. It's cleansing and refreshing and redeeming power. God had a plan for mankind, not to leave us in our sinful state, but to save us, and to save us by something most precious, His Son's blood. Now, thank God for the inheritance that we have and for the relationship we have with Jesus Christ. Not just a matter of being blood washed, it's a matter of being the child of the Lord and in a relationship. And we serve Him and we trust Him and we love Him. And He's always with us. He never leaves us nor forsakes us. I want to turn into the book of Leviticus chapter 4 in just a moment. But I want to go back to the time of Adam and Eve. And Adam and Eve sinned and they hid and they covered themselves with fig leaves, and that didn't work. The Bible says that God slew an animal and took the skin of that animal to cover them, to give them clothes, to cover their nakedness and their sin. And can you imagine what Adam was already afraid, and he knew he was in trouble. And the Lord God confirmed that, saying, you can't stay in the garden anymore. We can't walk in the cool of the day anymore. We can't fellowship anymore because now you've sinned. You've disobeyed me. You've rebelled against what I asked you to do. One little thing and you broke that rule. But Adam watched God kill an animal, and he had never seen that before. Never had an animal had to be sacrificed. But you know what's amazing? And it must have been horrible for Adam to witness that and to understand that the reason that poor, innocent animal had to die was because of his sins and his failure. So it was no doubt very horrible. It was something that was beyond his imagination, but it was something he caused by disobedience. And it wasn't long to where, as sin continued, pretty soon sacrifices were being accepted. And Abel offered the good sacrifice and Cain didn't. And Cain slew Abel over the sacrifice battle. And from there, it just seemed like more and more man continued to sin. It didn't take too many years before God flooded the world because of sin. In the book of Leviticus, we have the law of Moses, what God spoke to Moses in how to deal with a sin offering. I'm going to read this to you because I think when we look at what Jesus did for us, this is something else. It says in Leviticus 4:12, "Now the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel. If a person sins unintentionally against any of the commandments of the Lord in anything which ought not to be done, and does any of them, if the anointed priest sins, bringing the guilt on the people, let him offer to the Lord for his sin which he has sinned, a young bull without blemish as a sin offering." And we notice that Jesus, when he was sacrificed, the reason he was accepted because he had no spot nor blemish. And so God asked this of an innocent animal that had no blemish, perfect, and had to be judged so by the priest. He bring the bull to the door of the tabernacle of meeting. Can you imagine that? Bring it right there to the door and lay his hand on the bull's head. Can you picture that? I like cows. I really like cows. I think they're, and not that they're pretty, it's just that I like them. I think they're cool. I've been around cows since I was born. My grandpa always had two or three. Grandpa would go out at a certain time and he'd make some noise and the cows would come over the hill for milking time. I thought, that's pretty good. That's amazing. He had those cows trained better than us. But you lay hands on that bull, and that transfers from you to that bull the transgressions that you did. Has nothing to do with what the bull had done. They're innocent. And you kill the bull before the Lord. This is where it would lose me. I don't even go hunting because I don't want to hurt a deer or any other animal. I want to go to the store and buy meat. That's easy. But you kill that bull. You had to hit it at a certain place where it would bleed out quickly. Then the anointed priest shall take some of the bull's blood and bring it to the tabernacle of meeting. And the priest will dip his finger in the blood. See, there's, I would not have made it as a good priest. It's not that I faint at blood, it's just that I don't want that much to do with it. And you take your finger and you dip your finger in and you sprinkle seven times before the veil, the veil of the sanctuary. And the priest shall put some of the blood on the horns of the altar of sweet incense before the Lord, which is in the tabernacle of meeting, and he shall pour the remaining of the blood of the bull at the base of the altar of the burnt offering, which is at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. And he shall take from it all of the fat of the bull as a sin offering. And the fat that covers the entrails and the fat which is on the entrails. I'm sorry for this being so gory, but I'm trying to make a point. The two kidneys and the fat that is on them by the flanks and the fatty lobe attached to the liver above the kidneys, he shall remove. I'm done at the blood, much less all of this other stuff. You almost have to be a butcher to know what you're doing. But God required a specific thing for a reason. And it was taken from the bull of the sacrifice of the peace offering, as it was rather taken from the bull of the sacrifice of the peace offering. And the priest shall burn them on the altar of the burnt offering, on the brazen altar, and the bull's hide and all its flesh with its head and legs and its entrails and offal. And the whole bull shall carry outside the camp to a clean place where the ashes are poured out, and burn it on wood with fire where the ashes are poured out, and it shall be burned. I don't want to go into a whole lot of detail on that because to me it's just all so gory. But this is all symbols of, number one, how much God hates sin. Why do we have to go to all this trouble? Because you've sinned. Because you failed. Because you've broken the law of God. And this speaks of unintentionally. How many sometimes don't intend to, but you do something wrong? The scripture says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We all have done that. But you take this and you lay your hands on that animal. You know the animal hasn't done anything, and it's a valuable animal. It's something it's worth something. It's something that would be useful to you. But because of sin, you have to give up this valuable animal. You have to kill it, and it's not for any benefit. Just for paying the price for sin. The blood sprinkled, the blood applied to the altar, the fat burned on the brazen altar, and the remainder burned outside the gate, and the ashes scattered. All of that. And Jesus Christ, you know that song Via Dolorosa that Sandy Patty sang that? Jesus was beaten sorely. He was beaten horribly. He was tortured with that beating. He was weakened. He started carrying the cross and he broke down under the pressure. They got someone to carry the cross for him, but they still nailed him to that cross. He shed his blood on Calvary. And Jesus came to a point in that there were some words he said and some ministry he did even from the cross. And then he said, "It is finished. I've given my life for your sin." Jesus wasn't there to make us rich. Jesus wasn't there to make us in some way another self-improved. I heard a preacher the other day talk about, you know, come to this rally and we're going to get the real you to come out and you're going to climb mountains and all that. And that's good. That's good. Let, you know, be as good as we can be. But you know what? Jesus died to save us from our sins. Because our sins would surely put us in hell, and Jesus wanted us to be with him. He wanted to fellowship with us now. Thank God we have fellowship with the Lord today. Thank God. I appreciate that. Thank you, Jesus, for being with us. But we have fellowship that's going to last throughout eternity. When this life is over, we sang the song yesterday, "I'll Fly Away. I'll fly away, oh glory, I'll fly away." They sang in that service, they sang, "I'll fly away, the old rugged cross, and I feel like traveling on." I haven't heard "I feel like traveling on" in a long time. And then at the end, they finished with the song we started with, "Victory in Jesus." And all of this has to do with the relationship that we have in the Lord, with the Lord. When this life is over, we're going to be with God throughout eternity. He's provided everything that we need. He's got it all covered. He's got the blood now, and he's got the blood throughout eternity. We'll look back on and say, "Thank you, Jesus." You know, when we inherit different traits from our family. That's part of what I preached yesterday or taught. We get looks or traits or whatever from our family. And we may take those things with us to heaven. What we're going to leave behind is our faults and our failures and all of that and every sin, because it's covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. Andre Crouch wrote, "The blood will never lose its power. The blood that Jesus shed." Debbie, why don't you come to the piano and we'll get ready for our communion. "The blood that Jesus shed for me way back on Calvary, the blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never lose its power. It reaches to the highest mountain and it flows to the lowest valley. The blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never lose its power. It soothes my doubts and calms my fears, and it dries away all my tears. The blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never lose its power. It reaches to the highest mountain and it flows to the lowest valley. The blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never lose its power." I've heard Henry say that if we get a songbook, it better have the songs about the blood, or else we're not going to want it. And that's true. We need to honor and appreciate and value the precious blood of Jesus Christ. We can thank Him every day for the blood, and it will not be unwarranted. He's worthy to be thanked for such. Donnie, we need help with our communion. Because of this message, we needed to honor the Lord in communion, Holy Communion. We don't believe that this juice turns to blood, nor the cracker to the body of Christ. We do it as a symbol to remember the sacrifice of Christ on the cross. That He bled and died. He suffered. His body was torn apart with the whip, and then with the nails, it went into His hands and to His feet. But we believe it's a way to honor what sacrifice He did and to appreciate the elements of our salvation, both the blood and the broken body of Christ. By His stripes you were healed. And if you need healing today, if you need anything today, let's partake of this in faith. You don't have to be a member of the church to take the communion. You're welcome. The only requirement is that we need to know Christ as He is our personal Savior. That's the requirement. Praise the Lord. Received from the Lord That which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do ye in remembrance of me." Holy God, we ask that you bless this bread, representing the stripes that you bore before the cross and the suffering you did on the cross, how your body was sacrificed. By this, Lord, by this, your body, we are healed. And we accept that today. Bless this bread. Bless this cracker, Lord, that we might honor your body broken. Amen. Let's partake together. Same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood. This do you as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." Donnie, would you ask a blessing on the cup representing the blood? Give thanks. Holy God, we thank you for your sacrifice. Thank you for letting us have a part of who you are by accepting you into our hearts and lives, by you being with us every minute of the day. Holy God, thank you, Jesus, for your great, 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 great love. Thank you for tenderness each and every day, for the forgiveness that we receive, Lord, every day, for the strength, the comfort, the help. Help us today. Be with us today. Be mighty God within our lives. Let our faith just grow to amazing heights in who you are, what you've done, and the victory that we have in you. How awesome it is, Lord, to belong to you, to be your servant, for you to be our God. Hallelujah. We bring you great, great glory and honor. Great glory and honor. Praise to the name of Jesus. Praise to the name of Jesus. Is there anyone here this morning that needs prayer, that would like prayer, that wants to be prayed for? We want to pray for you if you want us to pray for you. Praise God. Let's pray for Henry, and you're welcome together. Need strength. Jesus, I pray that you'll touch Henry right now. Lord, we remember why we have hope for healing, because of the stripes that you bore before Calvary. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your blood being shed. And in the name of Jesus, I pray strength for Henry, healing strength, restoration strength. Mercy, mercy, mercy. In Jesus' name, thank you, Jesus. 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 Strength. Sleep. Holy God, I pray that you'll touch Brother Arden right now. He needs strength and he needs sleep. And in Jesus' holy and perfect name, we pray, Lord, that you'll give him that healing strength, but also sleep, rest at night. Lord God, give him rest, give him rest, give him rest. I pray that you'll have his mind just on you, and that will cause him to enter right into an absolute peaceful, restful night. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Anyone else need prayer today? Holy God, holy God. Let's just spend a minute before the Lord in prayer. Right where you're at is fine. Lord, we're so thankful. Thank you, Jesus, for doing all that we couldn't do. We don't have to go and take a sacrifice, make a sacrifice, kill an animal. We, Lord, only have to come to you and say, forgive me. Come into my heart. Live inside of me. Lord Jesus, we just ask you to forgive our sins and we can walk in your glory and in your light. We thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, Jesus, for your tender mercy. Thank you for each one that's gathered here this morning. And we pray, Lord, that you'll be with us, Lord, not only today, but through this week, through the weeks, through the months, and the years to come. Your mercy and your strength rule our life. And let our hearts be filled with praise because you're worthy. You're worthy. You're worthy. You're worthy, Holy Lord. We magnify your precious name. We honor who you are. Great and mighty God. How great thou art. How great thou art. We honor you, Jesus. We honor you, Jesus. Thank you for your precious blood. Thank you for every drop. Thank you, Lord God, for your spirit that moves in our lives. Thank you for a walk that we have with you. Holy God, a closer walk today. Closer to you every day. More mindful of you every day. Lord, let not the earthly distractions take away from our focus on who you are. We bless you, Jesus. We bless you, Jesus. We thank you for victory in your holy name. Victory in your holy name. Oh, we praise you, Jesus. We praise you, Jesus. We praise. We praise you, Jesus. Shuriya lala masandai. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Shuriya lala masandai. Hallelujah. Frida, we want to pray a special prayer for you that will transfer to your daughter. Holy God, I pray that you will bring such a wonderful anointing upon Sister Frida, Lord. Your mercy. And her daughter's gone through a horrible tragedy. And I pray, Jesus, that you, through your Holy Spirit, will bring supernatural comfort to her daughter, and to Sister Frieda, your mercy. Just, Lord, let your spirit flow. You can do all things. You can do all things. We look at situations and say, how can there be comfort? How can there be peace? But Lord Jesus, you died that we might have that comfort and peace. We pray the Holy Spirit move in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Seems to be lots of battles going on around us, but the Lord has victory. And we can be a part of the victory. Amen? We can celebrate. Holy God, holy God. Holy God, holy God, holy God. Jim's been trying to get his strength back for a couple of weeks. We're going to pray for you. Pray, Jesus, that you'll touch Jim. Lord, that you'll give him that strength. Lord, he likes to go and do, and I pray that you'll help him to be able to go and do the things he's enjoying doing. I pray, Lord, just a supernatural strength. We know he's had a cold and dealt with different things, but Lord, I pray that you'll override all of that and bring strength in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Anyone else, I'm right here. God bless you. You can consider yourself dismissed. As I used to say, shake hands and be friendly. Y'all do that anyway, but praise God.